do-gooders. Okay, here come the do-gooders. Okay?
Right.
So I want us to ask us again, why do we exist as Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan? As we look today and reflect on where God has already been at work in our body and His desire for us as believers in His Word, my prayer for us is that we leave here today with an excitement and a sense of direction that is so desperately needed in our churches today. At Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan, our reason for existence is summarized in what we call our mission statement. Okay, other churches, even our sister church, Living Hope Baptist Church, College Station, calls it a vision statement. We have what we call a mission statement, and we also have what we call vision points. Okay. These are specific areas in which we live out our mission as a church body and as individuals. Although some of our specific vision points may change from time to time, our mission will always be the same, and that's to bring honor and glory to God. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, that's what Drew was talking about with the kids tonight. It says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's why we exist, okay, to bring honor and glory to God, okay? And so we're going to look at our mission statement tonight, but before we look at where we're going, I think it's important to look where we've been, okay? Because the fact that we're even starting a new church is the product of the vision of a small group of people from First Baptist College Station, and I'm certain that those people, if you ask them today, if they thought Living Hope Baptist Church would look like it looks like today, they would probably say, heavens no. So we got to realize that as we're going forward, any kind of vision, any kind of purpose that we have, hey, it's probably going to change from what you think it's going to look like, okay? And so I'm sure that they thought that. But what God has done at Living Hope is a product of people saying yes to His leading in their individual lives. See, this is not just about the leadership of these churches. The only way that Living Hope Baptist Church has gotten to where it's got now is because people have said yes to God. You know, they have put aside some of their own desires and their own wants and stuff and said yes to God. And that's what happened to make what we have here today possible. Okay? In Living Hope Baptist Church vision statement in College Station, this is their the statement that we came from, okay? And the reason I'm reading that, and you'll see in just a second, is it says, "We are a Christian fellowship that glorifies God through worshiping, teaching His Word, evangelizing, and ministering to the community." And I would ask for a show of hands, how many of y'all had that memorized? Joe did, because he probably knew we were going to be saying this. But honestly, even as in one of our leadership meetings, Butch challenged us with that. He said, "You know, this is what we're all about. This is what makes the decisions in our personal lives and in the lives of this church. And we really, really, really do need to know it." Okay. And so as we look, it's really not okay for us to have a mission or a vision statement as a church and as members of the church not even know what it is. Okay. So I want to challenge you today, and we try to make it easy for you here. For those of you on the core group, y'all know, but our mission statement is going to be very, very simple to memorize. Maybe kind of hard to live it out, but it's going to be hard to. It's going to be easy to memorize, and we'll look at that in just a minute. Okay, but before we do that, we have a video that I want you guys to watch, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about our mission statement.
Just live our lives day after day. But the
truth is, life is a series of choices. And the things that we choose are the things that are most important to us. If we don't evaluate our lives and decide and clarify what's most important, we'll end up wasting it. The Bible says that it is the intelligent man who aims at wise actions, but the fool starts off in many directions. If that's our gauge of how we're going to evaluate our lives, the sad truth is many of us are going to fall into the category as fools. But none of us wants to live foolish lives. We want to be wise. Therefore, we have to consider the words of Christ, who said that the most important things in life are to love God and to love others. In evaluating your priorities and clarifying what the most important thing is in life, we have to use that as our measuring stick. But we have to choose. God doesn't decide for us that we're going to have good priorities. In fact, Job said that we can choose what sounds to listen to and what taste we want in food, and we should choose what is right. But first of all, we must define what is good. What is good in your family? What's good in your personal life? What's good at work? That is how you clarify what is most important. Because look, when you consider your life, the question of whether you're going to waste it or use it, it all comes down to whether you've clarified what's most important. Because when it's all said and done, your life, just a dash between two dates.
That's powerful, huh? So what you going to do with your dash? Because we all got a set amount of time we're going to be here, you know? And so it's time for the church to quit wasting time. You know, and so let's just look at our mission statement. I want y'all to see what we're all about at Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan. Our mission statement is we're a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. Let's say that together. We are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. One more time. We are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. Okay. And you know, and as we were looking at this, they come straight out of the Great Commandment. I'm going to read that and then make a couple comments. It comes straight out of Mark 12, 20-30-31. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. And along with that, we have the Great Commission as well. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. And these are the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We're all commanded to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But as I looked at this mission statement, this, we're a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. In his book, Greg Groeschel was talking about, he talked about mission statements and how they need to be simple. They need to be simple where we can understand them. He said, but he went through a list of ones that become so cliché-ic, you know, like, you know, we're just going to minister to the community and stuff like that. But what he had a whole list of them, and one of them was our mission statement. The cliché-ic one is to love God and to love people. And see, so what I really want to challenge you with, and I thought, man, do we need to change it? But I thought, you know, even though that this may seem a little generic or cliché-ic, if you take it serious, it's not. And I'm going to tell you, I do. I take it extremely serious, and I know a guy. We went to Brooklyn Tabernacle one time with the staff, and I met a guy. We went when the first Bryan Church we were going to do started, and I went with the staff, and I went with them, and I was like, man, what's a redneck going to be doing in New York? You know, I thought we were just going to go over there and you know, learn, because we knew we were going to be over here in Bryan and trying to minister into a different culture, you know, and so they had been very, very successful over there, and so I went over there, and I went to this thing, and this guy, Jim Cymbala, if you don't know him and you've read any of his books, Fresh Faith, Fresh Power, and all this stuff, I went over there looking for some nuts and bolts stuff to try to figure out how am I going to minister to some people unlike me, you know, different races, different cultures, and stuff like that. Well, I got there, and what I learned about Jim Cymbala, I haven't never left. It's never left me, because I saw a man that loved God, and he wasn't faking it. And I saw a man that loved people, and he wasn't faking it. You know, and the reason that I say that is because his first testimony, you can tell by the way he talks and in his books and the stories of the people that he talks to, the passion that he has for the people. You can tell that he loves the people. But how I knew that he loved God, he said that when they first started that church, he was in his sanctuary, hardly anybody even coming, hardly. And he was sitting there in his sanctuary on his knees begging God in prayer. And he asked God, he said, I know that I'm saved. I know my family's saved. I know all my family is going to heaven. And he said, if you're not going to use me, take me home now. See, and it's that kind of heart. This guy loved God, okay? And it's that kind of heart that had him to love people as well, okay? And so that's the kind of heart that I think that we need to ask ourselves as well, okay? And so as we look at our vision statement, it says we are a Christian fellowship. We, it's just like what we've been talking about all along. We are in this together. We are a Christian fellowship, okay? Christian, we're unapologetically Christian, okay? That means that we're not just another organization. We're distinct from the world. Everything we do is contrary to what the world says, okay? So we're a Christian fellowship, unapologetically, okay? We never back down. We're little Christs. Back then, that wasn't a very very good term. They were using that as a mockingly term, but we're to be little Christs, okay? And we're a fellowship. That's a sharing in common. We're a partnership. We're in communion. We're in this together. We meet together, okay? That's what we do, corporately and personally. So we're a Christian fellowship striving to love God. That word striving means that you're committed to growth, okay? You're seriously involved by God's Spirit. You're not just playing around. You're striving to come closer to the Lord, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, okay? And so what we're striving to do, we're striving to love God and to love people. So when I thought about loving God, I said, man, how am I going to be able to explain what loving God is to people? I mean, you know, if they don't already love God. And I tell you, I remember the time that this verse, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, impacted me to the point that that's why I'm here today, okay? I really believe I wouldn't be standing here today if I would have responded differently. I was in Experiencing God, and many of you that take an Experiencing God, remember the time when it's on week 3, it says, if you were standing before the Lord your God, could you describe your relationship as if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength? And I was like, okay, I know this deal. We do the little study during the week, you know, and then I'm going to write my answer and we're going to talk about it. So I reached over there and I knew the right answer was yes, okay? So I reached down there to put my pen on yes, and it didn't even hit the paper yet. And the Lord said, wait a minute, Alan, that word said all. And some things began to go through my mind like, man, I don't know about that. You know, some things began to go through my mind, and the Lord in His grace didn't just wear me out about it right then, but I went ahead and marked a check on yes, but put a question mark, you know, because there were some things that was going through my mind that I really couldn't reconcile that I was giving it all to God, okay? Well, and it was in that time, the same week, they have a time where you get alone with God for the whole reason, whole purpose for you to get alone and begin to speak and listen to God and see what's going on, because that's what Experiencing God all is about. It's just getting you more sensitive to what God's doing around you, okay? And I went to Haswell Park, and I got over there, and man, it's just so real to me. This just changed my life. I mean, I went over there and I got out of my truck. I'm like, all right, God, I done carved some time out for you. Ain't I good? You know, I'm walking around out there, and you know, and it's been after a storm, and I was just looking, you know, and I'm like, man, this is cool. I need to do this more often. And I'm gonna tell you need to do it too. You need to carve out time to listen and have time with God, okay? But as I was walking around in that park, it didn't take long. God cut to the chase. He said, Alan, let's talk about those things that was going through your mind. And I'm like, sure, let's go. You know, we're having fun. But it didn't take long. God focused in on one question. He said, Alan, what about your job? What if I asked you to give up your job? What would you do? And me and my pride, I said, Lord, you know if I knew it was you, I'd do it. And he said, give it up. And don't y'all know I got scared? I was walking slow. I started walking faster. I was like, oh my God, this is for real. You know? And it was. It was for real. And it wasn't long after me walking fairly fast to realize it's fairly futile to think that I'm going to outrun something inside of me. You know? Because that's the truth of the situation. When you get saved, God's inside of you. You might as well quit running from him. You know? And so that's what was happening with me. There was this battle that was going on. I'm like, wait a minute, God. I mean, we started talking then. You know? I was like, wait, God. That's my security. That's my, man, that's who I am. Don't you know I'm good at what I do? You know, that's what people know me by. That's my identity. And, you know, that didn't seem to really faze God, you know? You know. Then I pulled the trump card on him. I said, God, you know, even if I wanted to, my wife wouldn't understand. And God, in his grace, he said, Alan, I have a relationship with your wife. You don't worry about her. And so all my stuff was yanked out from under me. Man, I was painted in a corner and I didn't know what to do. Because I knew if I said no, I'd be telling God I didn't love him, you know. And I'm going to tell y'all, I cried about like I'm trying to cry up here, you know. Because it's so real. This is not a game, okay. Man, I knelt down on that part. Because the only thing I knew is I was like, okay, God, what does that mean? I'm going to have to quit today and become a preacher? You know? I'm like, a little different impact years ago, but now I'm up here. I don't know what to do, you know? But at that point, that's all I knew, you know? And so I really, I'm going to tell y'all, only me and God know. I knelt down on that bench over there at Haswell Park, crying my eyes out. People driving by probably thought I was an idiot. But at that point, it didn't really matter. God done his work, okay? And I said, okay, God, it's yours. And I really expected to get up there and never do tax return work again. But the minute I said yes, and only me and God know for sure, God gave it back to me. He said, now that I know that you're not holding it from me, you can have it back. But ever since then, my business hasn't been the same, you know. When somebody comes in and some things, I mean, and in this church, I mean, I'll drop a deer head in a minute to do ministry. You know what I mean? But I never would have before. That's been a thing, okay? And God reminded me of the story of Abraham and Isaac, you know. And that business had been my Isaac, you know. But I'm going to tell you, ever since I let it go, it's been amazing, okay? Because I can honestly say, man, I showed God that day that I loved him, okay? And so I say that to just challenge you, because I really feel that a lot of us loving God, because all loving God is obeying him, okay? Because that's what love is. That's what it says. It says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, okay? That's what loving God is. See, some of us don't love God because we're not obeying his commands. And it says in verse 21 in John 14 that whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. See, I also learned in experiencing God that obedience is my outward expression of love for God. Some of y'all trying to pay back your salvation, man, if you just want to hug God, just obey him. You know, just do what he tells you to do and just let him be God. Let him show himself to you, okay? That's what loving God's all about. You know, I just try to give you a picture of it from my own perspective. And I'm going to tell you, I really do believe that if I would have done it differently, I sure wouldn't be here today. You know, my growth would have been hindered, okay? But God is amazing. God's amazing. Can I hear that? Somebody, God's amazing. Is there any more witnesses out there? God's amazing. All right. Even if he makes you look like an idiot crying in the park. All right. God loves you. He don't do that to make you squirm. He loves you. Okay. So we got to leave here loving God, doing what God tells us to do. Okay. But also we got to love people. Now that's the hard part. Loving God's easy because he don't ever change. People change all the time. But we're still called to love people. And what does that look like? And I didn't really, you know, as I got to thinking about that, I was thinking, we've got love God and love people. We've got love in two places in our mission statement. And what does that look like? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. We're going to look like what biblical love looks like. This is a familiar verse. So when we read it, don't just read it like we read them. Familiar verses, I learned that when we're living by the book, that when you get in a familiar passage, read it slower. You know, because so it can gravitate. Because there's some powerful stuff in here. And in these familiar verses, as we just go over them sometimes they just go right past us, okay? And so we're going to read this slow. This is what biblical love looks like. And, you know, I really think that we may even implement this, even in our mission, our scriptural background for that, because this is what love is. This is love is patient. And as I go through these, man, you just ask God, show me an area that maybe I need some work right here. Because there's something for all y'all out here, okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. Love never fails. I'm going to say that again. Love never fails. Because we're talking about loving people here, okay? There's going to be some times where feel like love's failing, you know? Love never fails. All these things, the patience, the kindness, they work. You just got to stick them out, okay? In John 13, 34 through 35, we're told that a new command I give you, love one another. See, we're commanded to love each other, all right? As I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's how people are going to know if we're Christ's disciples. We begin to love like the world doesn't love, you know, contrary to the world, okay? Biblical love is sometimes hard because we need to love people enough to rebuke them when they're on a road for hell and destruction. See, love's not always that putting up with people and loving them and being really kind all the time. Sometimes true biblical love, you've got to get in people's life because it says love always protects. See, sometimes you need to protect people from themselves. You know what the Word of God says. You see people living a certain way, especially your Christian brothers. We have got to be a people, a church that says no. God's word says this, you're killing yourself, you know?
Right.
Love always protects. That's love. Some of y'all that have that gift of mercy, y'all don't feel like saying nothing to nobody. I'm going to tell you what, you're not loving people.
Right.
Love always protects, okay? Even at the cost of persecution, you know, because sometimes even in the areas we get out in these streets, you know, there's going to be a lot of times where people are going to come up to us and they're going to want money, you know? And what I've really realized that people don't need money, you know. They need Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes God's going to use our money for them, but I'm just going to give you a little wisdom if you're part of this. Hey, don't never give cash to nobody, okay? Do needs and stuff, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times we give our cash because we just don't want to be inconvenienced, you know? And so as you people come up to us, you know, and ask us to help, hey, we need to get involved in their lives more than we just need to throw money at the problem, okay? Every member needs to know and memorize this mission statement and apply it to every area of our life. Every area of your life. And so, man, I just really challenge you guys to look at this and say, hey, this is what we're all about, and I'm really committed to this. Loving God and loving people. You know, and you can, you know, not as a slogan, you know, this don't need to be a slogan for us, it needs to be a lifestyle, okay? If you really would implement this mission statement into every aspect of your life, which I have, I'm going to tell you, I don't do it perfectly, nobody does, okay? But I've implemented it in my life, and there's things I don't do because of this mission statement. But then there's things I do because of this mission statement, you know, and God's word and stuff like that, okay? So, and along with our mission statement are some vision points. And these vision points came from meeting with the core group here, and this is some specific things that we feel like that we're a part of as Brian. And I just wanted to share with some of you that are visiting and considering possibly being a part of us, okay? Our first vision point was Brian, okay? We think it's very, very important. Hey, praise the Lord, we're in Brian. Yes, okay? Hey, we're on the road to where we're supposed to be, okay? But the vision, if it just focused on Brian, would be a shallow vision at best. But on top of that, it would be contrary to the Great Commission, okay? Because it doesn't stop here. Any vision that doesn't include eventually reaching the ends of the earth is already planning on being disobedient to the Great Commission. Because it says go to all the nations. Now, how are we going to do that here? Then we got students, you know, that's possible. Internationals in this community, you know. I may not ever get to go across the ocean and wherever all them places are across the ocean. So I ain't been out of Brian much. but y'all have. And so it's just amazing just to realize that I can get to be a part of that. Just staying here and doing my part for God, okay? But I can reach the end of there for some of you students that God's going to call to world missions, okay? That's a way that we can do that. And we can even train up our own missionaries as well, okay? And proclaiming the gospel, that's the second vision point that we had. I mean, every aspect of our ministry should have this as the number one priority. It's the gospel that has the power to save. Without it, there is no ministry, okay? Everything we do, and see, and that's going to be a challenge for ministry team leaders. Everything that we do, we've got to get around to presenting the gospel, okay? Whether it's giving out the treats at the end, you know, welcoming, everything we do, everything, every relationship that we come across, even in our workplace, at some point, it shouldn't be just to be a friend with somebody. As a Christian and as a member of the body of Christ, you should always be looking for that way to backdoor the gospel. Or if you have to just blow the door down with the gospel, that's what you got to do, you know. Because there's always, you know, other opportunities and stuff. So anyway, you just need to realize that we can feed people all we want, but if they never learn about Jesus, we're going to run out of resources, but he don't, okay? So that's why we've got to get them reconciled with the Lord, okay? Proclaiming the gospel. And being recognized as true, authentic Christians, that kept coming up in our core group. Because a lot of us came from churches that, I'll just tell you, just at best, were dead, okay? And our community has seen enough false Christians, okay? And if you're not on board with this, please don't join. I just ask you, I mean, if you're not, and I'm not saying that you have to be perfect right now. I'm saying if your desire isn't to please God, because we talked about that even in loving the Lord, you got all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, we all got work to do, but as God shows us those areas of work that we have to do, we need to say we're going to work on them, okay? But if you've already decided in your mind that you're still going to continue to live like you live no matter what the Word of God says, please don't join. Because we want to be authentic Christians. Because this community especially has got their eyes on us, you know. And they know phony when they see phony, okay. But I'm going to tell you what, they're going to know real when they see real. Amen. And so I just beg you, you know, hey, if we can work with you and walk with you to get you to the point to where God has you to join this thing, we'd love to. And that's why we're going to do our membership classes and stuff. But I'm going to tell you, if you've already in rebellion against the Lord, please don't join this church. But please don't leave without speaking to me. And because I love you and I don't want any of you to leave here today not knowing my Jesus. Because he's the only way you're going to be able to do it, okay? Right. Being a part of authentic is also being transparent. And you know, we've got a really transparent body here. We really do. And it's a praise the Lord. If you've never been to a testimony time, I just beg you to come on because it's amazing. It's just amazing that how when we get out of the way and we say, God, you know, I'm just going to open myself up in front of these people and we're going to let, man, we've seen a lot of things healed in those times. And so being transparent is a part of being authentic because nobody needs to see the superficial Christian face Christian anymore. They need to see real people working this thing out. They need to see guys up here preaching that are crying in the park, you know. I mean, they need to see people being real, okay. And that's what they need to see where you're at. That's what they need to see where I'm at. Okay, and another point is being proactive, going out and training up missionaries and making disciples of Christ. Those are two points that we had in our thing, but the main things I see here, I see these as very similar, but the key words here are going out, okay? We're going to go out in this church. We're not going to just sit here on Saturdays in here. We're going to be in this community. And I think it's great that the Lord hadn't just gave us a building where we can just camp and say this is where we live. Man, we've been nomads ever since we've been in Bryan, you know. We're here 2 weeks, somewhere else another 2 weeks. But praise the Lord that's not, the people of Bryan, Texas don't know Living Hope Baptist Church as a building. Amen. We're a church. We've been in the community. That's why God has given us favor in some areas because we've been out there and we're going to continue to do that, okay? We're going to encourage other churches as well, okay? And so we're going to be going out, making disciples, training, teaching, making disciples, the Great Commission. That's all part of the Great Commission. And to make a disciple, in my mind, you have to first be a disciple before you can make one. And that word disciple is a learner, one who follows one's teaching. You know, so we're disciples of Christ, so we got to be the ones that are following Christ's teaching, okay? But before we can go and make any disciples at all, we got to be a disciple ourselves. You become a disciple, then you go, okay? And then pursuing all cultural and socioeconomic groups, love all people. James 2, 1 through 4 is very clear that favoritism because of how much money somebody has, the way they look, the way they dress, is forbidden. Okay?
Right.
So when the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that for whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life, He meant it when He said whosoever.
Amen.
Okay? That's anybody. Okay? And so we have to do that. We have to pursue all cultural, socioeconomic groups. And to do that, we may have to change some of the things that we do. Okay, we may not be able to just keep doing music like we do. We may not be able to do things the way we do. But again, we may. You know, who knows? But we have got to be willing to say, God, whatever it takes for You to do Your mission through Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan, we're in. Okay. And even if it goes against what I want, what I desire, you know, we just got to say yes. Just say yes. Get used to saying yes to God, and He can do some amazing things, okay? The other one was children with an intent of impacting families. See, all these kids that come in here, our desire was never to just pick up kids, okay? We could have got a bus years ago and just picked up a bunch of kids. So if you don't know how we do it now, we go pick up kids in individuals, because when you show up in a neighborhood and you're a bus, you're an organization sometimes, you know? I'm not saying that at some point we may not have a bus. Who knows? But right now we go in cars, because right now when you go, we're not an organization. We're people, okay? And so we've got these kids, but we've got young college students and some younger adults out there. But I tell you, it's not just about young college students and younger adults taking on that ministry. This is something, man, my heart would be that we would have somebody out there, everybody that would be a part of that at some point, okay? And the main thing you got to do to get yourself in a position of that, you got to fill out a criminal background check, you know? But our intent is to get these kids plugged in with some of the families in this church, okay? Because that the thing about that is students, they go, come and go, you know? And but the families, a lot of times they stay. So our heart for kids is to get it plugged in with the families as well. Okay, and amen, Dustin.
Amen.
That's our leader right there. I mean, if you want to serve in any of the children, and I'm gonna tell you, there's plenty of room to serve. It would be great if we had too many people where you could only serve every 6 months. You know, so don't think just because you get to see the kids taken care of here that they're being taken care of well yet. You know, we need everybody involved. One-on-one would be awesome. We get them outnumbered. We know we make them mine, you know? All right? Amen? All right. Okay. But Jesus, man, I mean, he loved the children. And in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33, he said, "Where they came to Capernaum, He was in the house, and he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the road?' But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest." He was talking to the disciples, Jesus was. "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all.' Then he took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" I think kids were important to Jesus.
Amen.
And again in Mark 10, 13, starting in verse 13, says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them from the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus loves the little children. I know that's a song, but it's true. Okay? And we want to show the love for some of these kids that may not be getting all the love they need, you know? We want to introduce them to Christ, but we don't want to just introduce them to Christ. We want to introduce their parents to Christ as well, you know? Because it's not our job to raise every kid over there. God intends the families to be able to minister to their own kids. And so that's another thing that we're going to be about, okay? Bling College students, faculty, and staff. We were going to do that's an item for prayer. We're still looking. That's a more focused ministry that we really see that's a void, the Bling College. You know, A&M students really get focused on a lot, but the Bling students maybe not as much. But we don't have a leader for that as well. So if God's pricking on your heart about being a part of maybe what that might look like, hey, come talk to us, because that's something that we really felt as a core group that we needed to do, but we don't have a leader yet, okay? And then prayer. And I didn't put prayer last because it's the least important, because we all know that it's the most important.
Amen.
You know? And that S.D. Gordon quote said, "The greatest thing anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed." And this is the most powerful thing I remember from a few weeks ago. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. We must pray. You know, because, and I'm going to just tell y'all, I have a heart for this prayer, and I just don't think that we've even tapped into even a little bit of what God can do in this community if we'd be a praying church, okay? I mean, our prayer ministry is just beginning, and I'm going to tell y'all, it can be as good as anybody out there wants it to be. But I'm telling you what I am looking for. I'm looking for people that'll say, "You know, Alan, I may not be able to get out there and walk them streets. I may not be able to get out there and do these kids, but you know what? I can pray. I got knees that don't quit. You know, I can pray." And we need, everybody in here needs to know who you are. Because here's the thing. When I'm out somewhere, if I know that I'm going to be witnessing to somebody, what a blessing would it be and a tool would it be for me if I could call up Joyce or whoever is that and say, "Joyce, on this time of day, I'm going to be praying for this person. I'm going to be witnessing to this person, and I need your prayers." And I know she's going to be praying. You know, and that's nothing. It's not something new. When I was experiencing God, He talked about that. A lady named Iva Bates in the body, and they were, and the students were out there trying to minister to the university. And they would go to Iva, and she would pray, and she, if they were going to be witness to somebody, and they would share names with her. Okay, and they told one story one week that when they had the altar call, guy went up, Henry, what, I can't remember what his name was as well. But when he gave his life to the Lord, Iva Bates was just crying her eyes out because she remembered the name. Because she'd been praying, you know. And so as you look, some of us get to go out and we get to touch the community, okay? But in that sense right there, this young man got saved, not because somebody shared the gospel with him on the campus, not just because of that. The whole body was involved in that. And so I beg you guys to for one, start working out your salvation with fear and trembling like we talked about last week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Ask God what it is that He'll have you to do. And if you think you can't do nothing but pray, that's the most amazing thing you can do.
Amen.
Prayer strikes the winning blow. And service is gathering the results. So I need me some blow-striking prayer warriors so I can get out there and gather up some results, all right? I'm going to pray with you, though, okay? So will you join us? Will you allow God to capture your heart for His kingdom agenda? Will you commit and strive to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And allow Him to use you as it pleases Him? I just ask you that today. And so as we close, I just want to offer up this time of invitation. I mean, some of us, you know, maybe God's already putting things in our minds, you know. And I just ask for you, whether you do it here or there, sometimes coming down is a big deal. You know, I know we got the high walls right here, but it don't really matter, you know. I just ask that you deal with the Lord as He would have you deal with Him. And just say yes, because He loves you. That's all He wants. And I want to close with this one statement. Without a vision, people become comfortable with the status quo. Later, they grow to love the status quo. Eventually, they'll give their best to protect what is, never dreaming about what could or should be. Yeah. So if we just settle, we're going to end up hating each other. You know, honestly, if we just settle and we don't go further along with God than we've been, we're going to turn into every other church that we've already been a part of, okay? Just because we left Living Hope, a real live church, and he talks about that in this book, It. Just because you have it don't mean you're going to keep it. You know, the minute you quit saying yes to God, you start to digress, okay? And I really believe that in my personal life and in the life of the church. Y'all pray with me. Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for the group that you've called here. Lord, and I know you're going to do some amazing things in this body and in this town. Lord, you've shown me how real you are. Lord, would you do that for people in this room tonight? Lord, would you let them realize that these aren't just stories? Lord, these are life-changing things that can happen to you, Lord. And to know that it's worth it. We've talked about that. This selfless living that we're calling ourselves, that God has called us to, is worth it. It's always worth it. Because if we will humble ourselves, He will lift us up. And so I praise you, Father, for that. And I ask, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that just, or they need a fresh sense of your presence in their life, I pray you do that in this invitation time.